Have you ever wondered why we believe what we believe? This is Human Rights Radio. I'm Jesse Bangu. In this report, we will talk about how information reaches us through the media. Then we will look at how this process influences human rights. When we talk about the media, we usually mean the mass media, television, newspapers, magazines, etc. But the widest definition includes all channels through which we receive informational input. If we think about how information reaches us, we can see that our beliefs are based on a much wider range of sources, including advertising, music, even video games. But the news is accepted as timely, accurate, complete information that people use to make decisions. Most people don't question the news. They assume that its wide audience guarantees that its contents must be correct. In other words, if the news were to fail at its mission of informing us, it would be quickly discovered by the public. And yet, we frequently find failures, bias, and outright misrepresentation which taint the public's view of the world. As early as 1922, journalist Walter Lippmann observed that the media's agenda helps at the public's agenda. When uncovered, the news treats the incident as a singular exception. They can do this because the public already perceives them as the correct source of information. This self-fulfilling perception allows media outlets to present a modified version of reality through the news. But if their goal is to inform the public, why would they misinform them? University of Texas professor of journalism, Robert Jensen, tried to answer this.
The propaganda model devised by Edward Herman and Noam Chomsky, I think, does a pretty good job of explaining why we get the media content we do. Commercial advertising is the main revenue base. This narrows the scope of information available because, of course, these large institutions that run the media have interests of their own. It doesn't mean they directly interfere in the day-to-day news content, but it does structure a world in which certain topics, certain kinds of information are highlighted and others are not.
According to Jensen, a major part of the problem is the commercial influence. Almost everything we call media is produced by corporations. The number of companies that own news services is getting smaller all the time, and the remaining ones are growing more powerful. Almost all large media companies have assets over $1 billion. Even large non-media companies use public relations, a form of media, to influence consumers. In fact, almost all the information we receive comes to us through corporations, directly or indirectly. Media, as a business, becomes a guided market system, which is primarily profit-driven. So the owners try to attract a larger audience. For example, newspapers realize that income from advertisers, corporate sponsors, lower the cost of the paper. This attracts price-conscious customers. Journalism intern Rebecca Flint talks about the power of advertisers.
It's happened in the past where advertisers have pulled out their dollars from publications because they don't agree with the content. It can get very touchy because obviously you have a lot of money that comes in from these people who are allowing your magazine in part to stay afloat, but you also have a responsibility to your readers and to the reputation of the publication to present whichever articles you feel should be presented in your publication, regardless of pressure from advertisers. And, you know, we do read all of our reader mail, and we take it seriously, but, you know, we certainly wouldn't change a story or wouldn't change, you know, the scope of our publication because of pressure from readers.
So newspapers must attract and satisfy the needs of the advertisers first. If they lose advertisers, they must raise the price of the product, which reduces sales and therefore profit. So a newspaper becomes more responsible to the needs of the corporate sponsor than the needs of the public. When these needs conflict, misrepresentations tend to favor the sponsors. We will look at specific examples later. But for now, how do the newspapers keep the advertisers and the public happy at the same time? Edward Herman and Noam Chomsky explained that the media present an illusion to the public so they feel informed while reading a corporate-filtered version of the actual news. They conclude that the actual product is the public, which the media company sells to the advertisers. Now, Chomsky's demonstration uses a newspaper, where the consumer pays for the product directly. Rebecca Flint notes that magazines follow the same pattern.
Magazines, which are so advertiser-driven, the glossies, every single one of them is very advertiser-driven.
And you can imagine how this scenario relates even more so to television or radio, in which the advertiser provides all of the funding to the media company. As we said, all for-profit media companies are driven by the financial interests of their shareholders, which may compromise journalistic integrity. Even non-profit media companies such as National Public Radio and Public Broadcasting Service now include, quote, enhanced underwriter acknowledgments, unquote, during broadcasts to avoid the FCC's ban on commercial advertising. But the effect is largely the same, since they often include corporate slogans and images. In some cases, such as with children's programs, the effect may be worse, as a product advertisement can be confused with endorsement by the station. In commercial films and television programs, sponsors strategically place their products in the viewer's sight for a similar effect. Tobacco companies use this kind of product placement heavily to compensate for advertising bans. Even seemingly objective news programs are not immune to biases in favor of sponsors. In 1990, Marquette University communications professor Lawrence Soleil conducted a survey on advertiser pressures on news reporters. He found that most journalists frequently admitted advertiser interference in news reporting as an implicit form of advertising. 56% of the journalists reported that they were encouraged to use advertisers in stories, interviews, or as experts on related news items. Professor Soleil found this bias in both large and small markets. Professor Robert Jensen comments on the problems of television.
Television doesn't do a very good job of reporting the complexity and the hypocrisy that we're talking about.
Critics such as Jeff Greenfield of CNN News ask how they can justify their stated goal of responsibly informing the public when they produce both established, serious news programs and sensationalist tabloid-style news shows. The networks claim to be satisfying the needs of their audience, but these different shows are designed purely to capture a larger market share, not to better educate the public. Often, the same corporations sponsor both shows, as the sensationalist programs allow them to influence the contents without the same scrutiny as actual news investigations. The advertisers use their financial pressure not only to promote positive stories, but also to suppress negative stories before they air. In 1990, the same year as Soleil's study, NBC producers killed a story on corporate boycotts when they learned that most of the targets were large television sponsors, including General Electric, which owns NBC. In 1997, Fox dropped a story on recombinant bovine growth hormone, or RBGH, after complaints from the Monsanto company, who developed the hormone. The story never aired, and the reporters were fired. In general, the news rarely reports purely negative stories about corporations and corporate executives. Even recent stories on corporate responsibility dilute reports on high-level fraud with language that spreads the blame throughout the company. Public relations agents isolate these cases as exceptions and still retain a largely positive public image. For example, corporate leaders are awarded the majority of all humanitarian awards. Consider another pressure aside from the financial support of advertisers and investors. How does the government influence what the media tells us? To understand this, our next segment will look at a related question. How do media companies decide what is news? This is Human Rights Radio. I'm Jesse Bangu.